Council Levine. All those in favor? Carried. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public meeting agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will go to the park presentation.
John, do you have the park presentation? Thank you. All right, thank you, Your Worship, the members of council. The purpose of this is basically this evening at 7 o'clock. I do have to attend the park presentation at Villanova High School, as I was directed by council. So I did want to offer some comments to the park process based on my findings, and hopefully council will agree with me and I can move forward with this presentation to the board. So first page, John. From the town's perspective, we do not want any school closures. I think that's been loud and clear. However, we understand that should a school closure be required, we question the board's rationale and the current recommendations it has provided. And those recommendations are that effective September 2016, the St. Bernard Catholic Elementary School be consolidated at the Stella Maris site. And furthermore, that the construction of an addition at the Stella Maris site, that being 4 additional classrooms. And furthermore, that a temporary installation of a porta pack of 4 classrooms be added at the Stella Maris site until the construction is actually completed. The proposed, next page, John. The proposed school consolidation would require students from St. Bernard and former St. Therese community, that being from the Malden area, to be bused to Stella Maris School in accordance with the board's transportation policy. This would require additional bus bays and a new bus bay parking area. The challenge is limited acreage, 5.14 acres at the Stella Maris site, along with a local road system with significant residential driveways, which in the town's opinion makes the Stella Maris site less attractive than that of St. Bernard. Next page, John. The location of St. Bernard School is more strategically advantageous from the town's perspective than that of Stella Maris. St. Bernard School has the opportunity to utilize a 30-acre municipal park with many amenities located directly across the road at Centennial Park. Stella Maris does not have this immediate access to such a community asset.
John, just before you keep going.
Sure.
If I could, Mr. Mayor, can you go back to the last one?
The only thing about Centennial Park is the track is, there's a signage there still too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, to mention that, you know, sure, Stella Maris can use that. So is the town looking at putting a new track in so that the students could utilize this in the school board? Or would it, you know, by sending the message that we're going to be able to utilize Centennial Park, I mean, what's the plans in the future for us to remediate that park then?
The town is going to be taking a parks master plan study that will review Centennial Park along with all the other municipal parks. There is no intention that I know of presently for the town to dispose of Centennial Park. So it is still an amenity, a community asset. With regards to the track, that's one of the amenities in the park. It does have limited use right now because it is in need of repair. But that would be up to council's discretion on if they wanted to make that a priority project or not. All I'm offering is that we do have a community asset, which is a 30-acre municipal park directly across from St. Bernard's. I'm making no commitment on anything. I'm just suggesting that we do have a community asset that's available.
Just out of curiosity, is this going to be presented to the school board tonight on our the town's position?
This is what I've been asked to do, is to assemble this. And if council so wishes me to move forward with this, I will present this as I've come up with. If not, then I'm here at council's direction.
I guess that's my concern, because some parents, like myself, we live on Texas Road in the north side of town where, you know, we don't want to see that school closed either. So right now you're suggesting the closure of St. Stella Maris. So now, without a public meeting, even with counselors, you're just stating an opinion of council, which that's what it looks like, and the town, which we haven't even discussed yet.
Fair enough. Counselor, I'm providing comments based on my findings, which I'm presenting to council. The process of school closures, as you're aware of, it's a school board process. It's not a process controlled by council. Based on the recommendations of what I believe, in consultation with looking at our planner and looking at the sites, and some of the findings that I have determined and I'm bringing to council for their consideration, it's ultimately up to the school board. So we can offer our opinions. Council is not in direct control of this process. This is a process in direct control of the school board.
Just to follow up, mm-hmm. So if council is not in direct, how is this coming to us at the last hour and not at the last council meeting or there before, so the public could be heard by our council and then a position move forward like we had with the Amherst High School situation where we sought a legal advice, he brought in opinions. I'd like both schools to stay open, personally. I don't want to favor one or the other, but so far what I'm hearing is, well, it's more conducive for St. Bernard's than Stella Maris. And I don't know if that's an opinion of other fellow counselors or of the town.
Well, I was asked by council to look at this. I'm only offering comments. At the end of the day, if council wants to remain silent on the position, then council can direct me not to go this evening. I was asked to do research. I was asked to bring the report back to council. And this was the first meeting I could do so. And these are my findings. So ultimately, if council wishes me not to do this, that's fine. Council can say no.
Just to follow up, I'm fine with going there, but now stating a town's position that you favor one school over the other, that now you're splitting the town in half. Now the north side against the south side or the central in the community, the midtown or central to the town school against one that's on the north side. It doesn't make sense to me. We're one community. We should be looking at the school board maintaining both schools and hopeful of more enrollment moving forward, not stating a position at the last minute before you vote in an hour from now. I just find it's hard to swallow just before a meeting that, okay, yeah, we're going to go out and tell everybody we're in favor of St. Bernard's.
It's a, I'll just go to Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that Mr. Michelli was directed to get information on how best to go about keeping St. Bernard's open. He's offering suggestions to the Board of Trustees tonight as to possible alternatives. And with all due respect to my colleagues, you've had 2 months to stand up and say something about this, do something about it, go to meetings. Nobody's done one single thing. So now, to be right, no defense, Rick, but to be raising your hand now and saying, what's going on? We didn't know about this, and we should have been told. Well, nobody gave any interest at all in the thought of St. Bernard's closing. And Mr. Michelli's doing what he was directed to do, and I think for him to go tonight, the art committee is looking for suggestions. They're looking for alternatives, whether it means pitting Stella Maris against St. Bernard's. You have that in all arts. Somebody's going to be pitted against the other. I love Stella Maris. Okay, my grandsons go there. Okay, I think it's a great school. St. Bernard's is a good school. So John is offering suggestions.
Councilor Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe this council has been proactive on every school closure. I think we're here as councilors. I don't sit on a school board. This isn't my job. So I don't understand why some think it is their job. But I agree we gave Mr. Michelli direction, but I also agree a little bit with Councilor Farr. It's a little confusing, some of the points that have come across. And I'm a parent of a Stella Maris student, and I can tell you if I'm at that meeting, I'm going to be very irate because it's very clear that is about enrollment. That's what we're looking at. The school board has lower enrollment. They don't have the funds to maintain two schools. So to suggest that this isn't pitting two schools against each other is a little naive, because that's exactly what is coming across to me. And I'm not trying to make it seem like you didn't do your due diligence here. I believe you did. I'm a little bit nervous that these comments I've heard so far, if there's a bunch of Stellamaris parents in that room, they're going to say, well, they're going to close a school, so now you're saying you want them to close that one instead of St. Bernard's, because I don't see a single plus here in the Stellamaris. I see a lot of pluses for St. Teresa's. And I know the school board trustee, and the reason for that school is because the interior has nothing to do with the exterior. That school was designed 30, 40 years ago. It's an open concept. There's no closed classrooms. That's why they can't just shove more kids in there. That's the difference. And I don't have to sit on the school board to know that. And Stellamaris was adjusted years ago and had an addition with extra classes. And that's why the school board made that, I guess, determination. But I still want you to go. I still support you, but I'm on the same side as Councillor Fryer. As a parent of one of the students at that school, what I've heard so far, to me, seems like the town says, we want St. Bernard's to stay open. Maybe you should close Stellamaris instead, because this one's way better. And I just hope that doesn't come across to any of the parents in the room. That's all it is. It's just it's an opinion. That's it.
Councillor, if I may, all of the findings that are in my presentation or the comments that are offered are all within the bodies of the reports that the school board has used to make their recommendation on closing St. Bernard's over Stellamaris. I have just looked at, from a municipal perspective, the challenges on our infrastructure and what that would mean to us. And the, you know, I was looking at it objectively. Ultimately, the school board's decision what they're going to do there. It's not going to be ours. I'm just offering the town's comments, because that's what they are, is comments, and the town's comments on that process.
And I understand that. If I could follow up, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. I do. And I understand the strategy you're going for here, basically saying it doesn't make much sense, but I'm just warning you. You could sit in a room and the school board and say, darn, you're right, Mr. Michelle, we're going to close Stellamaris instead because you made some good points. And you're just going to have a different group of people on us. And that's all I'm trying to suggest here with some of these comments the way I'm hearing them.
Well, and I can appreciate that. And as an administrator, and my job is to look at things objectively, I only offer comments because that's what I was asked to look at by the town. So in my professional opinion, as I do hold a designation as a real property administrator and a certified facility manager, I do have the expertise to address this stuff.
And that's why you're doing it, and I'm still supporting it. I'm not going to say don't. I'm just throwing up a heads up. Be careful.
Fair
there's
enough.
A lot more Stellamaris parents than there are St. Bernard's in town. And if they're all at the meeting, I just want you to be aware, because that's how it came off to me at first.
Yeah.
Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And through you to our CAO. And I do appreciate what you're doing, but I do agree with my fellow counselors. You know, I was on the PTA as a young mother, and I know that's hard to picture, but it's just like Councillor Levine said, we were trying to get the open concept closed, and they kept telling us it was that best thing that ever happened, and we found out it was an inferior way of learning through studies. But I think this could have all been prevented if this would have been given to council before. If at our last meeting, as Councillor Fryer has stated, you know, to bring this at the last minute, you're leaving in 10 minutes to go to this meeting, it didn't give us a chance to really discuss it. And I know what you're trying to do. I do understand that, but it's just the timing. The timing is very, very bad, and here we are. We're pitting one school against the other. So,
through your worship, I guess the school board's already done that for you.
Yeah.
They have pitted one school against the other based on their recommendation. Based on the timing of this, I was only asked to do this. Not last meeting, the previous meeting before, and I I have not had 2 months' opportunity to prepare this.
This was brought up in December.
Not for me to go make a presentation.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we asked for a full report. That was done in early December. There was a motion made by council.
I mean, administration has had quite a few things on their plate there, including negotiations. I think we have to look at the reality of what the school board has done. First of all, not to place blame, but they did pit one school against another. And we basically have asked administration to figure out which one that is for a business case. We're not in a position to subsidize a school. And ultimately, it's up to the school board which school they're going to close. So if we're not comfortable sending the CEO picking which school is a better business case, then we should probably just decide that tonight, because I think there's a reality that one of these schools was going to close regardless, and there's just nothing we were going to do about that. That's again, that's up to the school board, and our resources to keep it open are quite limited, let's say. Councillor Levine?
Well, seeing as that is now what the direction is, I have a conflict with this, seeing as I have three children at school, and I will then vote to not send you, if that's what I'm hearing from the mayor. Is that what our apparent approach is to go get them to try and close Stellmaris instead of St. Bernard's? I don't feel comfortable sending them then.
Councillor Cryer? Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody's clear. I don't think that was his, I don't think that's the CEO's goal. Again, it was a business case by the looks of it, and but it will be perceived as it's perceived.
No, I didn't declare.
Councillor Melange?
Do I have a PK?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
What did you just do? You just
I do?
Yeah.
I have
well, then, yeah, I have to declare a conflict of interest here.
Oh, because of our kids being in the...
Yeah. If we're going to be...
I'll declare.
Yeah, I'll declare a conflict.
I think not showing up would almost send another message that we're not really interested, from a public representative's point of view here. So that would be more my concern. I do understand, the individuals have children at the school. Yeah, now we're pitting one against another, but to take no action sends, I think, another message as opposed to taking some kind of action. I think we need to be make a presence.
Deputy Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've heard all this information, and I still think we should send our representative to the meeting. I think he's quite capable in presenting what he has, and I think it'll be an advantage to everyone to hear what he has.
Councilor Bouchard?
I still believe this could have all been prevented if it had been presented to us at an earlier time. I'm really concerned. I'm asking the CAO if you could inform them that this is based on information that the town has regarding the infrastructure, the needed infrastructure, and the necessity of the children walking on a highway. If you could emphasize on those facts, and if you could just tell them or advise them that it is not our intent to pit one school against another, that was just based on a business decision and not on favoring one school over another. Could that be done? Or
I will do whatever council instructs me to do, and quite honestly, this is all of the information that the board has made available to the general public. The board has actually made a recommendation to close St. Bernard's. The infrastructure challenges that the board has within their own facilities and buildings themselves are just that of the board. I'm more concerned about the municipal infrastructure and the community asset that's available to the public and to our children at Centennial Park I'm interested with the increased busing that's going to occur as a result of closing St. Bernard's based on the board's recommendation. It's going to have additional challenges on our municipal road infrastructure because there'll be more buses. We presently have 81% of our students that walk to St. Bernard's. We only have 7% of the student population that walk to Stella Maris. We're trying to promote a walkable, livable community. You're going to take that away from our children, which are presently walking to St. Bernard, and you're going to force them to go on a bus. I just offer these as comments. And once again, I'm only doing what I was asked to do, and I'm trying to present objective information for people to think. The ultimate goal for us is to have both schools to remain open. That's what we would love to have. The reality of it, as we've seen in many other accommodation review processes, is that there is a need for the board to close a school. I can only point out to them some of the benefits of what I believe have not been presented, and I just want to share that with the board. And if council doesn't agree, I won't. I mean, I'm here to do what council asked me to do.
Sure.
So just as a follow-up, all we're doing is receiving the presentation. That's it. That's what we're doing, that the presentation be received. But before we vote on that, could you please take us through the rest of the presentation?
Yeah. And we can make changes. I still have a little bit of time to make changes because I'm not going to be handing this out there.
Okay. Sure. You just want to wait. She's going to run and get Libby in prayer. They can listen.
Yeah. Can I make a comment?
While we're waiting, if it's quick.
Although it's more to do with Councillor Puja is saying, I guess. You're bringing all these facts, but all of a sudden in what you were talking about, some of that should be the preamble to some of this, I think.
I'm closing with that.
Oh, you're going to close with that. Okay. Because, I mean, you're making some good points that I hadn't heard.
If they were smart.
The board's recommendation to consolidate into Stella Maris would require substantial busing needs, resulting in increased travel time for the students in the southern part of the municipality. With the previous closing of St. Therese School in Malden, the students in the southern portion of the municipality would need to travel even further to Stella Maris and may be further upset with another move in a short period of time. The town believes that St. Bernard is more centrally located in the municipality and the primary settlement area, thus minimizing the impact on municipal road infrastructure, and is better equipped to handle the town's future growth patterns. The town has received traffic and parking complaints on the streets surrounding Stella Maris School. None have been received for St. Bernard's by the town. The town believes that there are limited options for site expansion at Stella Maris, specifically as it relates to addition of permanent classrooms. There are residential dwellings on three sides and an industrial site on the fourth side of Stella Maris. This is not an ideal situation for expansion. There is a smaller parking area, a smaller gymnasium at Stella Maris, as well as limited opportunities for on-site and on-street parking due to site design and neighborhood configuration surrounding Stella Maris. St. Bernard's School offers significantly more parking around the school, particularly with spaces along Richmond. The St. Bernard site is better situated for the addition of a bus bay to accommodate transportation needs of students. Vehicular traffic at St. Bernard's can move more easily around the site, and on-street parking is more readily accessible. Richmond Street functions as a higher priority road in the hierarchy for traffic movement in a municipality and receives priority treatment during winter control. Access to St. Bernard's is available by three roads, Richmond Street, Victoria Street, and Friar Street. Stella Maris has only two roads, William Street and Girard Street. Future growth in the primary settlement area of the municipality is divided fairly and evenly between the north and south. However, due to infrastructure challenges, the south is better positioned for growth. The town has major developments in the south, which include Hunt Club Creek subdivision. Draft plan has been approved at 800 homes. And the Smith subdivision, which is in the preliminary planning phases with 600 homes. There's environmental concerns. The Fraserville area where Stella Maris is located is treated under the town's nuisance mosquito program. The area of the town experiences a high volume of mosquitoes. There are days throughout the school year where students are required to stay on the pavement, no green space playtime. There are also days where the mosquito infestation is unusually high, not permitting students out for recess. They're called mosquito days. Basically, looking at the overall comparison of this is the board's information. So when you look at the two facilities, St. Bernard's is 3,953 square feet larger than Stella Maris. The St. Bernard site is 1 acre larger than Stella Maris. They are virtually of the same vintage of construction. St. Bernard's being built in 1958 and Stella Maris being built in 1956. Their St. Bernard's gymnasium is larger than that of Stella Maris by 325 square feet. They have the same number of instructional rooms. There is one more special room at St. Bernard's compared to Stella Maris. The area of hard surface outdoor play area, there's 6,535 more square feet of hard surface area at Stella Maris. There is 57,756 more square foot of green play area at St. Bernard's, which also, when you're looking at the addition, offers more opportunity for an addition to occur at St. Bernard's. They both have one playing field. However, St. Bernard's is immediately across from Centennial Park. Neither one has outdoor facilities. However, Centennial Park does have outdoor facilities. And I have advised that the town will be planning a parks master study, a master plan review in 2016, which may provide further amenities. With regards to parking, St. Bernard has 10 more parking spaces than that of Stella Maris. With regards to a bus bay, neither location has a bus bay presently. However, if we're looking at bringing all the kids from St. Bernard's to Stella Maris, we're definitely, busing will increase. With regards to barrier-free information, and this is all board publicized information taken from their reports. They both have door openers. Neither one has fire alarms and strobes. Both have ramps for accessibility. Neither one has accessibility chairs. So when we look at the determining factors when the board would be making, would be looking at renovations or renewal programs, St. Bernard's is at 50.4%, while Stella Maris is at 32.49%. Both sites are deemed critical based on the ministry's requirement with regards to renewal needs. St. Bernard's is in more need of repair, which can be addressed in renovations. When looking at the 10-year renewal cost, $1.2 million greater renewals required at St. Bernard's. When looking at the five-year renewal cost, it's $1.5 million greater at St. Bernard's than Telemaris. When looking at the utilization rate, St. Bernard's is 54.46%, while Stellamaris is 94.4%. However, it should be noted that each one will have greater utilization depending upon where the consolidation will be located. When looking at on-the-ground capacity, St. Bernard's has 314 spaces available, while Stellamaris has 288. The present enrollment at St. Bernard's is 171 pupils, while at Stellamaris there's 272. Surplus space available at St. Bernard's, there's 143 surplus places available, while at Stellamaris there's 16. What I did is I looked at and calculated what I believe projected enrollment would be with the consolidation. This is my best estimate based on looking at their figures. You would project a consolidated school of having 414 students upon consolidation, that being for the 2016-2017 projected school year. I could be off, but I was just using their numbers. They would have more accurate information than I would. But that's what I believe it to be. The number of spaces that need to be created as a result of consolidation. So that's a simple mathematical equation by looking at what I believe the projected enrollment to be, a 414, less their on-the-ground capacity. So that would be 100 spaces would need to be created for St. Bernard's, while 126 spaces would need to be created at Stellamaris. Based on my understanding of schools and the limitations of 25 pupils per classroom, you would require 4 classrooms at St. Bernard's and you would require 6 at Stellamaris, which further concerns me because of the smaller site. You would require more building actually at Stellamaris than I believe you'd require at St. Bernard's. These are my comments and my findings. With regards to transportation, which is the next issue, total students, 172 at St. Bernard's and 272 at Stellamaris. Right now, there's only 16 students transported at St. Bernard's. There's 205 students that are transported to Stellamaris. Total outside the boundary, there's 33 outside the boundary at St. Bernard's. There's 48 outside the boundary at Stellamaris. Right now, presently, there's 2 bus routes that are used at St. Bernard's. There's 6 bus routes that are used at Stellamaris. There's 1 special needs bus route for Stellamaris. Walking, the number of students that walk to school. At St. Bernard's, 81% of the student population walks to St. Bernard's. 7.5% of the student population walks to Stellamaris. Ridership percentage to the school, there's 9% at St. Bernard's, 73% at Stellamaris. The longest bus ride to school at St. Bernard's is 42 minutes presently at their location. At Stellamaris, it's 22 minutes. The average bus ride to school is 14 minutes for St. Bernard's and 10 minutes for Stellamaris. And when looking at community use, the community use permit hours, there's 490.5 hours being used at St. Bernard's. There's 154 hours being used at Stellamaris. This, in my opinion, promotes more of the community hub use. There is significantly more use by the community at St. Bernard's. When looking at participant visits, they're roughly the same. There's roughly 300 more at St. Bernard's. When you look at the permits granted, there's 17 permits granted at St. Bernard's, 8 at Stellamaris. What I found very interesting is the use of the community gym at St. Bernard's. There's almost 590 community hours used at St. Bernard's compared to 14.5 at Stellamaris. So that would be taking that out of the community if you were to close that school. So it does seem that there's significantly more. With regards to the classroom, 20% of the classes used at by the community at St. Bernard's, while only 12% of the community uses Stellamaris. So those are my comments to offer to the board. Once again, we prefer no school closures. I think, in my opinion, when you're looking at the information that the board has provided, and us as a town, when we look at our infrastructure, and we're the ones responsible for maintaining the road network, and we have a community asset in the park that we want kids to use. We do have a mosquito issue in the Fraserville area. I know that council doesn't want to put a position forward, but I think the information is pretty clear, folks. I just want to offer that to you, and I'll take direction from council on what they want me to do.
Councilor Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I do have to commend you, Mr. Michelli. It is a very, very good business case. You have to be there by 6:30, is that it?
No,
7 o'clock.
Oh, 7 o'clock, okay. And I think that council, for the most part, probably feels the same way. The timing issue is off, but I just had one concern, and I'm sorry I didn't write it down, and perhaps maybe that would satisfied everybody on council, and you did say you might be able to skip that part. I'm not sure if it was on the first. If we could go back to the very first page of presentation, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think it was on either the first or the second page, and I think that's what set us all off. So really, I don't see any distinctive paragraph where you're saying that you prefer one school over the other. I think it's just that you're giving a good business case, and I'm fine with it.
Deputy Mayor?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a comment on the presentation. I think it's an excellent presentation, and it's good information for anyone that wants to read it, and information is there. It's not made up. It's basically what's been developed and worked at, and I think it's going to be good for whoever uses that information, and it gives our position as a town.
Councilor Malash?
I do, and I would have to agree with that. I think, you know, if we look down the road, you know, we talk about where these new subdivisions are going and everything. St. Bernard is more strategically placed, you know, for us to take advantage of what the town has to offer, or St. Bernard has, we should say, a better opportunity given what we have. So, from that point of view, and you're not the numbers that you showed, John. I mean, when we're talking about enrollment, when you're looking at 50% capacity at St. Bernard's and 94% at Stellamaris, and then your numbers further down projected, we're projecting for 2016, 2017 enrollment a further decline. You know, the school boards have no other alternative but to close one, and so it's just sign of the times. Our enrollments continue to decline. But I think by picking St. Bernard in relationship to where the town's going to grow, I think it's going to be advantageous. I went through that with Our Lady of Mount Carmel, in South Windsor, where they were slated to close the school. My kids were going there. They made an arrangement with LaSalle. And over the 5 year, South Windsor changed, and all of a sudden went from closing to now they built an addition out of the school. Mm-hmm. So, I guess going that way and looking at where St. Bernard is, and potentially if we do have an expansion, it's in a great spot. So, yeah.
Okay, Councillor Fuchsia.
Make a motion to receive.
Second, Councillor Melange. And all those in favor? Carried. Do we need traction to? Councilor Melange?
A motion for John to make the presentation?
Yeah. Okay. I believe we do.
I'll make a motion that John be directed to make the presentation this evening.
Second, Deputy Mayor. Is there any last comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to the IBEW contract. We need to go get the other counselors.
Do you want me to go get
them? Sure, if you want.
From December. I'll send you an email.
You will or you did?
I'm over to the other.
Should I continue? Okay. That brings us to the supplementary agenda, the IBEW contract. I'll look to a motion or questions. Councilor Fuchsia? Whichever.
Okay. Not a Bruce Scott. He's already.
All right. Go ahead.
Move that the recommendations 1 through 4 be received, number 1. Number 2, be ratified. Number 3, be funded from the tax stabilization reserve. And number 4, bylaw 216-23, the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign, it be read 3 times, and the clerk and mayor be authorized to sign the same.
Second, Councilor Melange, and discussion. Councilor Fuchsia.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I do apologize for not being able to get to ask these questions today. I was not available. So I just needed a clarification regarding the elimination of the 7 seasonal positions. So we're eliminating 7 seasonal positions, and there's a creation of 7 new full-time positions. So my question is, the full-time receive an amount between 65% to 70% more in their wage, and it was my understanding that this would help, and so then 7 full-time positions would require benefits. So how will this be a savings for the taxpayers of Amherstburg?
Through your worship, what we're looking at doing with the 7 full-time positions, 2 of the positions would be skilled trades, so that being we're looking at bringing on board an electrician and a plumber. Presently, we contract out for all those services at the present time. We have no one that is a licensed electrician or a licensed plumber on staff. So there's a number of preventative maintenance issues that the town will be undertaking that we presently only do right now on a reactive basis or on a as-needed basis. So what we're trying to do is improve our the condition of our facilities, which in turn will lead to better performance of facilities and health and safety. The other five positions, we are looking at creating job descriptions to create flexibility for the town. With those positions, we're looking at reducing definitely the amount of overtime as a result of the language that we've been able to gain. And with that, able to improve the level of service. Some of those things are quantifiable in dollars, some are quantifiable in levels of service. So for example, I'll give you a really good example with regards to winter control. Right now, we presently don't have anyone on shift at all hours. With this configuration operationally, we'll be able to ensure that with the coverage that we'll have in the evenings and midnights, that we'll be able to deal with a number of our critical areas as it results in snow removal. So we can get the main road started, which is a tremendous, I believe, will provide us a tremendous opportunity for service level improvements. So there is a cost, but there's a number of contracts that we're going to be eliminating as a result of it.
And thank you for that. And but we just mentioned we could use a reactive basis, and we mentioned health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
So are we including a health and safety officer as one of these positions, or is that an addition?
No, that was in addition to the health and safety officer was a different position. These are unionized positions. The health and safety officer is not a unionized position.
Councilor Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Page 35, I believe, is a typo error. The second column, the first block of numbers, second column, I believe that it should be 2694, not 2994. The third number down on the second column. No, the second column. Go down to the bottom, right there. If you take 2681 and you multiply that by your 0.5%, you should get 2694, not 2964. I think it was just a typo. Because it's a good raise they would get.
Yeah. It's a good catch.
Mind you, the next year they would be upset. So that's number one. As I see this collective agreement, it gives them, extrapolating numbers, okay, using your numbers, I get, it looks like it's a 5.8% increase over the term of 4 years. That's all inclusive. I'm talking about, you know, bonus and wage increases. So we're looking at about 1.4% a year on average. So, you know, I mean, that's acceptable. And, from other than that, the only question I had was there a specific clause that was going to be added in with respect to when you talked about new hires and what we call the flex hours. I didn't see a specific clause that that I just maybe didn't read it properly in that for any new hires.
I believe it's any new hire after January 1st, 2016 would be subject to split shifts.
But I didn't see that. Maybe I missed it.
Okay, I'm not sure. I thought it was in the actual language.
Sure.
Yeah, all new hires.
Oh, it's buried in the discussion, not buried in the...
No.
Is it in a contract? Okay, I didn't...
as it relates to, I can bring you to section 18.02, Parks, Facility, Recreation, and Culture Outside and Operational Staff.
Where?
18.02 on mine, it's page 16.
Page 20 on ours.
Page 20 on yours. Article 18.02 sub B, all regular full-time parks, facility, recreation, culture, outside, and operational staff hired after.
Must have missed that.
Yeah, and we have that same thing for public works.
Okay.
So 18.01 B, all regular full-time outside employees hired after January 1st have 40 hours, and including inclusive Sunday through Saturday.
But it doesn't, I guess, you know, having read that, though, when we talked about the flex, is it understood that the flex is built into that? You know, yeah, sure, you're talking about total hours, but when we were discussing this initially, you talked about possibility of going like 4 and 4.
It's covered in the language of 18.02B. Counselor?
I'm here. Just going to get to it. Under B?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That goes direct to the mic now. Okay, good. That'll be it. Thank you.
Councilor Fryer?
Just to follow up on that while it's up, these employees will be assigned to split shifts or required to accommodate special events. So are snow falls now for a special event?
The town declares it an event. So any event, typically snow falls, there's events, you have to declare it as an event.
Okay.
So that it actually, from a Ministry of Labor, for driving perspectives, you have to know when the event begins and when the event ends.
And just a little bit more on that, the 7 positions and savings I've received after each snowfall we've had since we've been on council, that Malden Center hasn't been touched. Meadow Lane specifically is never touched until after the fact. Or one truck will go down there, and then being in an open area, it seems that Malden's being forgotten because there's wind conditions out there that caused drifting, and the CAO can attest to it. I send him the text right after I get it at 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, from an employee that works at Canada Post that's trying to drive in from Malden area. So I don't know how we're going to save money if we're not putting people out there currently on overtime. So how are we going to save money when it's not being done now, especially on your example of snow removal or...
Through your worship to Councillor Fryer, Malden Center is one example that where, you know, as a result of blowing conditions, does have the buildup of snow after an event. And I do receive your emails at 5 o'clock, and I typically respond, and sometimes you're shocked. But the issue there is what my plan would be going forward is with regards to level of service improvements, because we would have people on shift working at midnight and they're able to do snow removal, that we would require them during winter control to go out there and look at it at those points in time. So what I'm suggesting, it's a service level improvement that we presently do not have unless someone complains. And my goal is to address it and be proactive.
Just to follow up, my concern is the language saying special events, accommodating special events. So when it gets windy, is that going to be a special event after a snowfall? Like when do we say, look, if we have control, so we can, instead of just having accommodating special events, we can assign these employees to split shifts where we require. If you put in that to accommodate special events, you know, could could throw a monkey wrench in when the union says, well, no, that's not a, just because it got windy, it's not a special event. It gets windy all the time.
The language that we have with the collective agreement allows us, we have to develop the job description with regards to those positions. Those positions, the job description will require them to have the license for DZ, which allows them to operate a plow. Our requirement will be for them, and that's going to be a management issue. It'll be up to management to direct people to go out, and like you say, Malden is a problem, so we'll have someone go out and check Malden. We'll have somebody on shifts. We don't have to call anybody in. We'll have somebody there to do it. So I, you know, that's the plan going forward for next year. We have to get to that point, but my goal and the goal of the management team here is to address all those things. Anton, I don't know if you want to add any more.
Yes, I just want to clarify that a split shift is, when it's a special event split shift, that's if you're going to schedule 4 hours and then they go home for 4 hours. But for winter control, we would schedule their full 8-hour shift during an afternoon or a midnight. So that clause only is in effect if you're going to split their shift. For winter control, we wouldn't need that. We would have regular public work staff on from 7 to 3, let's say. So that's a full shift. And then we would have these other employees to be scheduled a full 8 hours. So the split shift and their argument that it's not a special event, we wouldn't have to even deal with that because we're scheduling full shifts. So that split shift language is probably going to be truly used for special events as far as town events and that, and not, I wouldn't say often for winter control, because you would schedule a full shift, either an afternoon or a midnight.
Just another follow-up on the other questions on the contract, but I'm glad we've done a great job in River Canard. We just need to work on Malden, because Malden seems, the question that I get from two residents all the time is, who's going out there to monitor, and when are they going? Is it only on complaint basis that we're going to be doing snow removal? I guess that's something that needs to come back to council later, at a later date, maybe strategic plan, whatever we're going to do to help the residents out there, so that way when they do have to go to work, they can get out of their driveways, get through the roads. On the contract as a whole, it's a line that's been used, I mean, even in the big three, the race to the bottom, and I'm glad we have an agreement that both the union and the corporation seem to come to a mutual agreement. I don't think it's a, you know, we're putting many reductions on the workers, especially monetarily. We're giving them bonuses, we're giving them monetary raises. I know Big Three, we haven't seen a raise in close to 12 years, so that's great for our employees. Moving forward, also with the 7 full-time positions, I personally would rather see full-time positions than part-time. That allows that employee the meaningful employment that they need to help their families and know that they have a future with the corporation moving forward. So thank you to the both sides of the fence for getting this agreement in front of council.
Councilor Puja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I do know that two of you have to be very conscious of that, so I'll be very quick. Councilor Melosh just made a statement, and I just want clarification of that. He stated that he thought it was 5.8% increase, and I thought it was 2.5% increase for the wages, because I don't understand how we can count the $500 signing bonus. That's not really a wage increase, it's only a bonus. So
I indicated net total net cost, bonuses and
you're responding, yes.
I indicated that the total cost, net cost to the corporation, to the town of Amherstburg, you know, the money that we're laying out, that's what it represents.
I appreciate the councillor's position, though, because that might be misleading. It's not a 5.8% increase. And I think we can clarify that sure that the lump sum payments do not constitute an increase to their base salary. And so that is only the percentages that have a percent there.
Yeah.
Councilor Milosh?
One quick question. 16.01 had to do with the disciplinary aspects. It talks about if a representative of the union is not present, any action taken will not be considered a matter of record, so it's like it never happened. If the union steward decides not to show up at that particular meeting that's called, it never happened.
You're discussing language that hasn't changed? And we're not really...
Okay. Language hasn't changed. Okay.
We're not really here to renegotiate the contract.
No, I understand.
So,
I understand. Okay.
Is there any other questions on the agreement? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that finishes this agenda. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess... motion to adjourn this meeting. Councilor Levine and Councilor Fryer, all those in favor? Carried. I guess we'll take a 5-minute break while...